Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic Podcast. On Sundays, we take a deeper dive into these ancient topics with excerpts from the Stoic texts, audiobooks that we like here or recommend here at Daily Stoic, and other long-form wisdom that you can chew on this relaxing weekend. We hope this helps shape your understanding of this philosophy, and most importantly, that you're able to apply it to your actual life. Thank you for listening. The Daily Stoic is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. One of the cool things about podcasts is that you can multitask while you're listening, but depending on what you're doing right now, like for instance, if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you could be doing. You could be getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $700 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at Progressive.com to join over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $698 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now. Bringing you today a chunk from Princeton University Press's Ancient Wisdom for Modern Readers series, which I have loved and raved about. I carry a bunch of them here at the Painted Porch. They're all these beautiful, colorful little editions, collections, the best Stoic thinkings on a bunch of different topics. And then there's some other wonderful ones from Plutarch and Sallust and Suetonius and all the different ancient Roman, typically Latin writers, but there's also some others. I love it. And in today's, this is a translation not from a Latin thinker, but from Aristotle. This is a chunk from Aristotle's Poetics, the first and best introduction to the art of writing and understanding stories. Everything we know about how to craft and tell a story, it in some ways traces back to Aristotle. Even my decision, for instance, to break up the obstacle, ego, stillness, and now courage and discipline, these books into these three parts. I got that advice from Stephen Pressfield. And where does Stephen Pressfield get it? He gets it from Aristotle. And in today's episode, translated by Philip Freeman from this audiobook, How to Tell a Story, you're going to get some ancient wisdom on how storytelling is an act of imitation using different media and different ways of telling story. We're going to talk about the origins of tragedy, how it developed, and how these different types of storytelling can shape what we do and how we think and how we communicate ideas. I love the Princeton University Press Ancient Wisdom for Modern Readers series. Very grateful to them to let us excerpt this. You can listen to a bunch of the editions, including How to Tell a Story, anywhere you get your audiobooks. And like I was saying, we carry the physical ones here at the Painted Porch, but you can pick them up anywhere books are sold. And of course, we will link in today's episode. Enjoy.
Introduction. Storytelling is imitation. 1. In this book, we are going to discuss the craft of poetry, that is, of storytelling of all kinds, along with the power each kind of poetry can have. We will also examine how to put together plots of high quality, the number and nature of the parts that make up a story, and other topics of this sort. Let us begin, as is natural, with basic principles. Epic and tragic poetry, as well as comedy, dithyrambic poetry, and most music played on the pipes and lyre, these are all a kind of imitation. But these arts differ from one another in their imitation in three ways. Namely, they use different media, different objects, or different manners. Media. How do you tell your story? Some people, either by artistic training or by natural ability, use colours and shapes to imitate various things, while others imitate with their voices. In the same way, the poetic arts I have mentioned produce imitations by means of rhythm, language, and melody, whether using them separately or in combinations. For example, music for the pipes or lyre or similar instruments like panpipes uses only melody and rhythm. The art of dancing uses rhythm alone, without melody, but its rhythmic movements also imitate character, emotion, and action. The craft that uses only words for imitation, either in prose or in verse, whether using a single meter or a mixture of meters, has no name even today. We have no common terms for the mimes of Sophron and Xenicus, and the Socratic dialogues, nor for imitation that one might make using iambic trimeters, elegiac couplets, or other kinds of meters. Of course, people attach the term poetry to different types of meter, and so call some writers elegiac poets or epic poets, but they call them all a certain type of poet because they use the same poetic meter, not because they are similar in the nature of their imitation. Even if someone writes about medicine or physics in verse, they are still called poets. But Homer and Empedocles have nothing in common, except that they both use the same type of poetic meter. We should certainly call Homer a poet, but Empedocles is clearly a scientist. And if someone mixes many different meters, not just a single form, like Charamon did in his metric melody Centaur, we should include him among the poets too. We should pay attention to distinctions like this. There are also some types of poetic works, such as dithyramb, gnome, tragedy, and comedy, that use all the different media mentioned earlier, rhythm, melody, and meter. They differ in that some use them all together, while others use them at different times. This, then, is what I mean by the differences between the arts and how they use different media to create imitation. Objects. What are your characters like? 2. Everyone who uses imitation in their art represents people engaged in actions. The people represented must be either good or bad in their character. Almost everyone is marked by either a good or a bad character, since it is by virtue or vice that the character of a person is known. People imitated by artists can be better than us, worse than us, or much the same as us. Painters illustrate this in their subjects. Polygnotus depicted superior people, Porson the inferior sort, while Dionysius painted ordinary people. It is clear that each of the different kinds of artistic imitation we mentioned earlier follows this same pattern, better, worse, or the same as us, and they are distinguished from each other in how they represent their objects in different ways. These differences are also seen in dance, along with music for the pipe and lyre. This also holds true for prose and for verse not accompanied by music. Homer, for example, imitates superior people, while Cleophon's characters are similar to us. On the other hand, Hegemon or Thasos, who invented parody, and Nicocheres, author of The Deliad, imitated inferior people. The same is true of the dithyrambs and gnomes, for a writer could imitate cyclopses, as did Timotheus and Philoxenus. But most importantly, tragedy and comedy differ from each other in the same way. Tragedy imitates a better sort of person than us. Comedy imitates people worse than we are. Manner. Who is telling your story? 3. A third way in which the arts differ from one another in imitation is manner or mode. In the same type of media, you can imitate the same objects in different ways. In telling a story, you can use multiple narrators with different personalities, as Homer does, or single-person narration. You can also have the characters performing actions directly. Differences and overlap in storytelling. So these, then, are the three differences in types of artistic imitation. As we said at the beginning, media, how the story is told, object, characters, and manner, narration. In one respect, Sophocles is the same type of imitator as Homer, since both portray superior characters. On the other hand, Sophocles is like the comic writer Aristophanes, since both of them present their characters performing actions directly. This is where some say drama gets its name, since it represents people in action. A brief Dorian digression. Because of this, the Dorians claim to have invented both tragedy and comedy. The Megarians specifically say they invented comedy. Both those from Megara on the mainland, who say it was invented during their democracy, and those Megarian colonists in Sicily, because it was the birthplace of Epicharmus, who lived long before Chionides and Magnes. Certain Peloponnesians claim they themselves invented tragedy. The Dorians say the words they use prove they were the inventors of both tragedy and comedy, since they call their country villages komai, while the Athenians call theirs demoi. From this, the Dorians claim that comic performers didn't get their name komodoi from the word komazin, to revel, make merry, but from the villages they wandered through after they were expelled from the cities. They furthermore say the Dorian word for acting or doing is dran, not pratine, as it is among the Athenians. So much then for the discussion of the number and nature of the distinctions in imitation.
I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. There's a lot of things we know would be good for us. Problem is, we don't have time. It's just tougher. I think therapy is like that. We all know that sitting down, talking to someone, really working on our issues will make a difference. So the problem is finding a therapist, driving across town, all of that, right? And that's where Talkspace comes in, today's sponsor. Because by doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easier, more accessible, and more affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. You can have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. And Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end grade encryption to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter promo code SPACE80, that's 80, to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/stoic, promo code SPACE80.
Where does storytelling come from? 4. In general, it seems that there are two causes for the beginnings of poetry, both of them arising from human nature. Imitation. First, imitation comes naturally to people from childhood. Indeed, this is one thing that distinguishes us from other animals, since we have a powerful and natural inclination to imitating. This is how we learn our earliest lessons in life. We all take great pleasure in imitation. The experience of our lives is proof enough of this, since we naturally delight in seeing the most accurate imitations possible, even when they cause us distress, such as representations of vile creatures or corpses. The reason for this is that we all enjoy understanding things, especially philosophers, but others too, even though they aren't able to do it as well. This is why people enjoy viewing images, because when we see them, we begin to understand and work out what each image represents. Ooh, this is a picture of so-and-so. But if it isn't something or someone you've seen before, it won't give you pleasure as an imitation. Though you can still appreciate the skill in creating it, or its colour, or for some similar reason. Rhythm. The second cause for the beginnings of poetry is that melody and rhythm are also natural to us, and poetic metre is certainly a type of rhythm. From the start, those who had a special talent for these things created poetry gradually through improvisation. The early history of Greek poetry. Poetry developed into two genres, according to the character of those who composed it. Serious authors imitated in their works serious people and their noble actions. Less serious authors composed stories about common and less admirable people, creating satires in verse. The serious authors, however, composed hymns and poems of praise. We don't know of any satiric works before Homer, though there were probably many. But we can begin with his Margites and other stories of the same kind. The iambic verse form developed because it worked very well in these types of poems. Such poems are called iambic now, because in those days poets used this meter to satirize each other. And so some ancient poets wrote heroic epics, while others wrote satires. Homer was certainly the greatest of the serious poets, since he not only wrote very well, but also was able to dramatize his imitations. In addition, he was the first author to define the forms of comedy by adding drama to what we laugh about, though he didn't engage in personal satire. His Margites bears the same relation to comedy as the Iliad and Odyssey do to tragedy. The history of tragedy. When tragedy and comedy first appeared, many poets were led by their own nature to produce one or the other. Some turned to composing comic plays instead of long lampoons, while others produced tragic dramas instead of lengthy epic poems. These new, shorter forms of storytelling were seen as more important and esteemed than the earlier types. This isn't the place to examine whether or not tragedy is sufficiently developed in its various parts, or whether we should judge it just in relation to itself, or how it relates to audiences in theatrical performances. All of that is a separate matter. In a sense, tragedy first arose accidentally, as did comedy. Tragedy came about from the leaders of a dithyrambic chorus, comedy from the leaders of groups singing phallic songs, as they still do in some cities. Tragedy gradually evolved as writers developed new aspects and potential in its performance. After these changes were introduced, it eventually became fixed in how it was presented on stage, since it had achieved its true nature. Aeschylus was the first playwright to increase the number of speaking actors from one to two, making the actors the focus of the drama and reducing the importance of the chorus. Sophocles then introduced a third actor and painted scenery. It was only at a later stage that tragedy developed longer plots and more dignified diction as it evolved away from its roots in satyr plays, along with a shift in meter from trochaic tetrameter to iambic trimeter. They used trochaic tetrameter at first because it better fit the style of a satyr play and was more like the rhythm of a dance. But when actors began to step out from the chorus and speak, the writers found that it was natural to switch to iambic trimeters, because they are closer to the way we normally speak. We often use trimeters in everyday conversation, but not other meters such as hexameters, except when we're departing from our normal style of speech. As for the number of episodes in tragedy and other such features, we'll pass over these, as it would take too long to give a full history of each development. The history of comedy. 5. Comedy, as we have said, is an imitation of inferior people. Comic characters are not cruel or vicious, but laughable. Laughability being one category of what is shameful or disgraceful. Being laughable is a shortcoming or disgrace that does not involve any serious pain or destruction. For example, a comic mask is ugly and twisted, but it isn't painful to look at. The history of tragedy and the people responsible for these changes are known well enough, but we have no record of the origins and development of comedy, since no one paid much attention to it. It was only later that the Archon even granted a chorus at public expense to comic writers. Before that, the chorus of a comedy was all volunteers. It's only after comedy had already developed some of its characteristic features that the names of the earliest comic writers are known. We don't know who first introduced comic masks, prologues, multiple actors, and other such things, but we do know that comic plots originated in Sicily, and that the Athenian poet, Crates, was the first to abandon crude lampoons of individuals to give comedies plots and stories with a more universal appeal. How is epic different from tragedy? Epic is like tragedy in the sense that it is an imitation in poetic meter of noble people, unlike comedy. But epic is different because it uses a single meter and is narrated. Epic and tragedy also differ in length, with tragedy, when possible, having its action take place within a single day, or perhaps a little longer. But epic is not bound within a certain time period, though the earliest tragedies were unrestricted in time like epic. Some parts of tragedy are common with epic, others are used only in tragedy. Whoever knows what makes a tragedy good or bad knows the same about epic, since the basic qualities of epic are common with tragedy, but not all the qualities of tragedy are shared with epic. The crucial elements of tragedy. 6. I will discuss imitation in epic and comedy later. For now, let's take up where we left off and examine what tragedy is based on what we've already said. Tragedy is an imitation of an action that is elevated, complete, and of sufficient length. Each part of a tragic drama uses language that is embellished. Tragedy is acted, not narrated. Tragedy evokes pity and fear. By doing so, it brings about a catharsis or purging of emotions. When I say the language of tragedy is embellished, I mean that it uses melody and rhythm. Some parts of the play are performed by speech in a metrical rhythm, while other parts are done through song. The parts of tragedy. Spectacle. Since tragedy is an imitation performed by actors, it follows that a part of telling the story is arranging and managing what the audience sees on the stage. Music and speech. Add to this music and speech, for these are the media through which the actors perform the imitation. By speech, I mean the diction or composition of metrical speech in the play. Hopefully, everyone already knows what music is. Character, plot, and reasoning. Since tragedy is an imitation of action performed by certain agents, the agent should have qualities in respect to character and reasoning, for the character and reasoning of a person are what defines his or her actions and thus success or failure. Plot is the imitation of action, and by plot I mean how the events and incidents in the tragedy are organized. Character is what makes an agent behave in a certain way. Reasoning is what actors say in a tragedy to argue a case or put forward their views. And so, tragedy has 6 parts that determine its quality: plot, character, speech, reasoning, spectacle, and music. The 6 all fall under our previous categories of media, speech, music, manner, spectacle, or object, plot, character, reasoning.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Stoic podcast. Just a reminder, we've got signed copies of all my books in the Daily Stoic store. You can get them personalized. You can get them sent to a friend. The obstacle is the way. Ego is the enemy. Stillness is the key. The leather-bound edition of the Daily Stoic. We have them all in the Daily Stoic store, which you can check out at store.dailystoic.com. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
Back in the plumber
27
days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shay and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Six Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Guy Raz's How I Built This is a podcast where each week he talks to the founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you hear these entrepreneurs really go into their story. And Guy is an incredible interviewer. He doesn't just dance around the surface. He asks real questions because he himself is an entrepreneur. He's built this huge show and this huge company. In a recent episode, they talked to the founder of Liquid Death, that crazy water company that's become this billion-dollar brand. Follow the show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. And for a deep dive in daily business content, listen to Wondery Destination for Business podcasts with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.